Today on Real Radio.
Now listen, everybody, this is critical. I tell you what, I'm not joking right now. If you get what's coming up here right now, you'll be smarter than most seminary students when it comes to eschatology, the study of God's prophetic futuristic word, okay? Get your pen ready.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at a section in Matthew's gospel that addresses events that take place during the time in which you and I are living right now, the Messianic era, also known as the end times. We'll have a look at the events that happen during that age. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing in his series with a lesson called The Parable of the Fig Tree.
The Bible says regarding doctrine that it's preeminent above everything. Did you know that doctrine is preeminent above things like unity? Don't you think unity is an important thing? It's second at best to doctrine. Isn't that interesting? Besides, what are you going to be unified on if you don't have doctrine? Let's unite. Okay, what are we uniting for? I don't know. What do you want to unite for? Are you with me? You have to be united for a cause. And the Bible says you are only to be united when your doctrine is in agreement with the Word of God doctrine. That always gets people going too. I can't believe you said that. Well, I didn't make that up. I'd love to take credit for it, but the Bible announces that. It's an issue of deception. We're living in a time of deception. And we're being warned every day, I believe. It's an issue of biblical authority. Does the Bible mean what it says what it means? Yes. It's an issue of biblical authority. I say biblical authority because we're living at a time right now regarding deception that biblical authority is second in a lot of people's minds to my human feelings. Biblical authority versus human feelings. Emotions. And then finally, it's an issue of the it. You see that in verse 33 is in fact the second coming of Christ. It's an issue of, is he coming back? I'm not going to name some names. You can ask me privately, but there's some very, very big global churches. Very famous. Many of you used to probably belong to one. That literally denies his physical second coming. They say it's from the book of Revelation. We don't study that book. It's spiritual. It's typology. You can't understand it. It's symbolic language. He's not physically going to return. It's a symbolic announcement of his coming. Really? No, he's physically coming. And tonight, maybe if you're saying, you know, yeah, I don't read that book. I don't get it. The reason why you don't get it is because you've never read Genesis to Malachi. Did you know that? Did you know the book of Revelation judges all of us? You'll never understand the book of Revelation because it demands that you know the Old Testament first. Did you know that? Listen, things that are mentioned in the Old Testament, some of the things have no answer. You read Genesis to Malachi and you end and you go, kind of left me hanging there. You can skip. If you're Jewish tonight, listen, I'm serious. Read Genesis to Malachi, skip the entire New Testament, and start reading the book of Revelation. And a Jew will get it. They'll get it. Why? Because among all New Testament books, the book of Revelation is the only one that references the Old Testament as often as it does compared to any other New Testament book. Did you know that? The book of Revelation assumes that the readers know the Old Testament. So, Jesus is announcing, look with me, verse 36, but of that day and of that hour, Matthew 24, but of that day and of that hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, listen everybody, But as the days of Noah were, you underline that, Jesus is saying, what I'm about to tell you is like the days of Noah. So before we go any further, don't answer out loud. Just think, what comes to your mind in the days of Noah? Just answer yourself. What comes to your mind regarding the days of Noah? So you write that in your notes. Jesus says, they were eating and drinking. Imagine Noah building the ark. For how long? Anybody remember? 120 years. Imagine that. Hey, Noah, how's it going there with your big model thing there? 120 years people walked by. Can you imagine? Have you forgotten that? They walked by. Noah, we think you're nuts, but it's very entertaining. It's fantastic to watch this. Can you imagine? 120 years. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years while building the ark. Did you know that? What was he doing? You guys ought to think about what I'm doing up here. It's going to rain someday. What? This water is going to come from the sky. You're nuts! Because the Bible says up until then, water came up from the earth and watered the ground by dew. It rained upside down. Still does that today, right? The dew comes up and waters the ground. Isn't that amazing? God's amazing. Yeah, someday it's going to rain. Oh, you're nuts. Imagine that. In other words, Jesus is saying, they were eating and drinking. They didn't heed the warnings. Noah must have had a massive driveway because this is where he built that boat. You know, those people have massive RVs in your neighborhood that park in their driveway and it takes up the whole neighborhood. Imagine this guy. Oh, there's that Noah again. Imagine every sound of that hammer. Oh, that's that nut. Believes in God. He's so intolerant. And rude with that hammer. On Saturday morning, you can hear it just pounding away. We have to get up and hear that. So Jesus says they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. What does that mean? It means that they thought life was just going to go on uninterrupted. Until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know it until the flood came. Remember Noah goes into the ark? This is a toughie. This is the time I would start sweating at this point as Noah goes into the ark. The Bible tells us, which is awesome. Noah walked, God says, go, it's time to go in. So he goes in, and the Bible says, and then God shut the door on the ark. Can you imagine? Can you imagine he's getting there? Hey, boys, Shem, Ham, Japheth, go over here. We got to figure out how to shut this. Never mind. God shut the door himself. And then remember what happened? Can you imagine? They're in there. All right, door shut. It's not raining. I just could have swore God said it. Can you imagine Mrs. Noah going? Can you imagine? People must have been laughing on the outside. The Bible tells us they were extremely wicked too. Remember that? They were given over to all kinds of wickedness. Mockery, laughing. Can you imagine the muffled voices? Noah, you big loser. And then clouds begin to form. The earth begins to shake because God's preparing to break open the fountains of the deep, underground rivers. Did you know that still to this day? Now, here's something I want to ask you, skeptic, too. In Genesis, before we had any ground-penetrating radar in the technology to know what we know now. The Bible says that there are rivers flowing under the ground. The Bible says that before we ever discovered rivers flowing underground. And God says, I'm going to take those rivers that flow under the ground, I'm going to break open the earth, and the water's going to come out. I'm going to send clouds overhead, and the rain's going to come down. I'm going to baptize the earth from this wickedness. Now listen, everybody, this is critical. I tell you what, I'm not joking right now. If you get what's coming up here right now, you'll be smarter than most seminary students when it comes to eschatology, the study of God's prophetic futuristic word, okay? Get your pen ready. Verse 39, and they did not know it until the flood came and took them all, what? Away. In your margins, verse 39, just write down the word judgment. Judgment. Question, who was taken away? All the people outside the ark. With me? Okay. So also, two key words. So also, what's coming in the future is like. Will the coming of the Son of Man be? Then, two, your Bible should have the word men in italics. Why? You know. Now you know. It's not found in the original language. Two will be in the field. One taken and the other left. Stop right there. When the flood came and people were taken away, you understand? You get that? They were swept away. Jesus, listen, is saying, whoever is taken away is taken away to judgment. Don't let anyone deceive you regarding this passage, because the context of the lesson determines the interpretation of the passages in the context. Are you with me? If you apply that law of Bible reading and understanding, you'll never be led astray by someone knocking on your door, because they don't do that. Say, well, my friends told me this is a rapture verse. It's anything but a rapture verse, because those taken away are taken away in judgment. Watch this. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. That's awesome. If there's a robber in your neighborhood, are you going to go to sleep that night, or are you going to have your shotgun? Verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is a verse concerning the second coming of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom. Those that will be deceived will be swept away in judgment. We don't have the time tonight to get into this not rapture verse. But ladies and gentlemen, people will tell you, oh, there's no rapture. There's no rapture. You see, look right here. At the end of the tribulation, that's when there's this thing. You'll pop up into the atmosphere and then you'll come right back down. It'd be like, I don't know, something that pops up in the air and comes back down. You don't go anywhere. Oh, well, then cut John 14 right out of your Bible then. And then cut 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 right out of your Bible. Just cut it on out. No. And they use this verse to rob you of your hope and your joy and the promise of his coming. You see this? This is serious business. This is good stuff, though, because this will help you be ready. And so Jesus sets for us in the context. He lets the Bible speak to us. Look at Matthew 24:15, and this is where we'll get into it next time. This should blow your mind next time. Jesus gives us an awesome clue. Matthew 24:15, therefore, circle the word therefore. It's important. Whenever you see the word therefore, it's extremely important. When you see, so there's a generation coming. They will see the what? Abomination of desolation. You're not Jewish, but if you're Jewish, that just got your attention. What? We know about this. This is, we're an absolute, we've been devastated by this in the past, and we fear that it will happen again in the future. This abomination of desolation. Most recently, the Romans did this to us. Before that, Antiochus Epiphanes did this to us. He'd offered up a pig on the altar and took its blood and urine and sprinkled it all over the Jewish artifacts in the temple. A Jew's skin crawls at this abomination of desolation. Why? Because it's right out of Daniel chapter 9 about the things to be prepared for in the last days. And we'll get into that next time together. You might say, well, what does this have to do with us? It has this to do with us. This stuff, number one, gives you a greater appreciation for the accuracy and the exactness of the Bible. Number two, when the same God who says, for example, these things will happen, he's the same God who says, if you'll trust me, I'll forgive you of your sins. He's the same God. You understand what he's announcing to us? He goes, I can be trusted. I not only have time and eternity in my hands, I'd love to have your eternal destiny in my hands. My son died on the cross for you exactly how the prophets said he would. And he rose again from the dead, guaranteeing you that he's got the power to fulfill and execute the plan that he empowered by his death on the cross. You know this. Don't raise your hand. I don't embarrass anybody, but do you have a will tonight or a living trust or something? Why? By the way, it's called the last will and
testament.
Do you have one of those things? Why? Because I could die. Yeah? Good. And? Well, I want things taken care of for my family that's still living. Yeah, good. But did you know, where is it right now? Is it like in your safe deposit box? Is it at your attorney's office? Where is it at? It's in safekeeping because it's so important. Good. But did you know it's completely, right now, if you can hear me, worthless. What? I just paid $2,000. No, I'm glad you did that. It's worthless right now. Worthless. Just a piece of paper taking up space until you die. What happens when you die? The moment you die, that worthless little document becomes your voice after you're dead. It's all powerful. It's so powerful, it can even hold the state of California or the federal government off. Did you know that? You can write stuff in there that holds them off from their pillaging. Seriously. It is so powerful. It's so powerful. It's got more power than if you were alive. It's so powerful because it's been empowered by your death. And then it bursts out into authority. Jesus says all that he says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I am the resurrection and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Jesus says, you come, I will never refuse you. Jesus says, I am the living water. If a man drinks of me, he'll never thirst again. Jesus says, listen, I lay down my body in death, and on the third day I'll raise it up. So watch this. Everything he said, honestly, is worthless until he dies. What? This is so cool. He dies and authenticates the word of God. But that's not enough. Because listen, theologically, this theologically, Jesus not only died for you, Jesus died for God. What? Jesus died for you and I for our sins. Jesus died for God regarding the validity of the Word of God. In other words, Jesus in dying empowered God's promises. So watch this. Then he is resurrected from the dead. Why? Because the Bible says he's the advocate for the testament. So what does that mean? Listen, he's Jewish. He doesn't use an attorney. He says, I got this one. I said the words. I paid on the cross to cover it. I died to empower it. And then I rose again from the dead to make sure it gets handled right and nobody messes with it. He's your advocate. And tonight he says to you, you trust me, I'll take you all the way through. You got that? That's your God. That is the power of your God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Fig Tree. It's part of our series that takes a close look at a section in Matthew's Gospel, which addresses events that occur in the end times. Some of those things happening right now. The Parable of the Fig Tree, part of Pastor Jack's collection of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember, this series is still available on MP3 CD, The Parables of Jesus. The entire collection of studies is yours for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Now we have Pastor Jack here in studio with us. Pastor Jack, I understand that there's an important conference on Israel coming up.
Yeah, you know, every year our facilities here play host to Dr. David Hawking's Hope for Today outreach.
Yeah.
He does a prophecy conference where he brings in some pretty knowledgeable people. One of them is a dear brother and friend. In fact, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, for example, he's an attorney. He's not only an attorney, he's a pastor of the Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, but he's part of the faculty at Dallas Theological Seminary, a great brother, a great communicator. Of course, Dr. David Hawking will be speaking, Thomas Ice, David Reagan. David Reagan is a gentleman who many of you know from his television broadcast. David Reagan has the ability to look at world events in light of Bible prophecy, second to none, and no man has ever been known to fall asleep during one of his messages. The guy, I'm telling you, when I grow up, I hope I have as much anointing as energy as Dr.
Okay.
David Reagan. We're going to be having with us a dear brother from England, Dr. Paul Wilkinson, a tremendous speaker, one who, listen, everybody, one who has taken upon himself to really reveal this very, very ugly and insidious vein that is flowing through many churches in the world today, and that is an anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-Jew doctrine.
In the church. Yeah.
And Dr. Paul Wilkinson has tremendous presentations on this. Mm-hmm. He's got his doctorate in mathematics, in science, but he loves the Word of God, tremendous brother. And I tell you what, it's going to be a great time. There'll be other events planned as well. There's no cost for this event. A love offering is going to be taken, mm-hmm. but I encourage you to come on out. This is going to be stuff at our time. With what's going on in the world right now, Davey, you can't afford to miss this conference.
When is it?
This conference begins on August 7th, 7th and 8th. And it's right here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, right here in Southern California. We hope that if you're within driving distance, or for that matter, listen, every year we have people that come from as far as Canada.
That's
great. We've had people come from Maine.
Yeah, I love it.
To attend this event. So it's an eye opener for sure.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.